Welcome to the Social Expedition. Fueling your digitally social experience. This is show number 22, March 4th, 2010.
All right, let's go.
Is it okay when you say let's go? And
when
then
I say let's go, yeah, that usually means I'm recording.
Okay, gotcha. I'm like, I don't know, let's go, and then I wait for a click. So
I think he clicked and then said let's go.
Yeah, okay. I got that backwards this time.
All right,
okay, it's the click before the horse kind of thing.
Sure.
Yeah. So hey, 22 makes me think of room 222.
Where's that?
Do you remember that?
Nope.
Okay, so the long tail has failed me yet again. It was an old TV show.
I feel like that sounds vaguely familiar to me. Was it like Twilight Zone-y?
No, it was more just like classroom.
I think room 22 kinda, was the, the classroom
you
stuff.
Know, like the breakfast, I think I know what you're talking about, actually. Show.
Oh, okay.
And see, the long tail for me is kind of weird because part of my growing up, we lived in Japan. And we were watching old reruns then, so I was already getting exposed to stuff that was even out further in the long tail than I would have been exposed to had I stayed in the States. You know. So anyway.
Interesting.
So 222. But anyway, 22. That's great.
That's our show.
That is it. It's March. It's all kinds of stuff happening in March. Although, you know, I guess the headlines aren't showing much happening so far. But really, there's a lot going on. Maybe things are quiet and things will start busting out next week at, you know, stuff that everybody who doesn't go is going to be tired of hearing of South by Southwest.
Probably.
Yeah. So we're going to add to the noise this Friday with our own little South by Southwest core conversation show.
That's right. We will be talking about South by Southwest Interactive. So if you're going to go or if you're, you know, interested in talking about it, give us a ring on Friday, usual time, 11:30. And you can find out, of course, more information on our website, as always.
Central time, right? Central time,
yes.
11:30. Now, are we Central Standard right now or Central Daylight? I forget.
We're Central Daylight.
I grew up in Indiana. We didn't do either.
Oh, we're really? We're CDT right now.
Really?
I'm pretty sure.
Yeah. Half the year Indiana was on Eastern. Half the year Indiana was on Daylight. I think it's officially on Eastern, but we just didn't do Daylight Savings.
Oh.
And so this whole notion just confuses me.
We're CDT because right now we're saving Daylight.
Okay.
In, I think, like 14th, like 2 weeks from now, we go back, we spring
forward.
No,
I think it's the summer that we
save
daylight.
Are we saving daylight in the summer?
Yeah, so the sun's up later so that farmers can work longer in the day, which is stupid because
farmers wake up at
sunrise.
I mean, technically we're always saving daylight by moving the clock. Technically. Let's get down to brass tacks here, people.
Always saving daylight.
Well, by moving the time, either way you move it.
Oh, yeah.
You are saving daylight.
Daylight is in peril.
You're trying to maximize
your daylight.
We need to.
You really are.
Yeah,
essentially,
but I really like the only people that are actually affected by it are golfers because it gives them a slightly later tee time.
Then you should just go play golf in Scotland because you can play it for like 15 hours in a row.
Yeah, just play
sometimes when it's sunny.
Nighttime golf
during the summer. Yeah,
true.
Okay. Yeah,
back on topic.
Anyway,
so let's see. So earlier you were talking to Josh Bell.
We were talking to
Josh
Bell.
Awesome. I'm sorry I missed that. And even earlier than that was the breakfast. And
that's
after the breakfast, we broke into our own breakfast core conversations there.
That's right.
And we got into a couple of things. See, this today people wanted to talk about either, what was it not? Measurement?
Social metrics. Measuring success in social. And also blogging was the other topic.
Yeah.
And it's an amazing thing to me. I'm perpetually amazed at how every month there's always something different that seems like the majority of people want to talk about.
Even if they all like sound the same, like I've been in like 5 different blogging conversations, and each one has been completely different.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one time it'll be about which platforms you use. The next time it'll be about like how do you create new content. And this time, a lot of it seemed to be focused around. I can't even read my notes. About like how you go about soliciting, about how you create content. If you go about soliciting guest posts, offering guest posts to people, which honestly I've been reading is a really great way to like play to your SEO because it's a link back to your blog that's absolutely guaranteed. And if you create great content, then people are going to come back there and be more likely to link to you anyway.
Mm. So, okay, guest posting was...
And
what else got the star headline out of the blogging conversation?
Well, I mean, a lot of it was really... You know, stemming a lot from Carrie's comment during her presentation that, you know, every blog post she writes takes about 2 hours, even the very, very short ones, because she has to go visit somewhere, has to go do some research on it, has to write it up, has to get all the media ready. So a lot of the conversation also focused on the amount of effort that goes into a good blog post. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people in that group have struggled with that time and time again, to get something up to the quality that they want with the time that they have. You know, there's usually some kind of compromise happening.
Yeah, I agree. Like, you know,
especially sure, if it's like sure. An unpaid blog. I mean,
sounds like it was a good conversation. Oh yeah, yeah. You know, these folks, you know, there's blogging, the motivations behind blogging.
Yeah,
probably more. Most of the folks in there, I guess, was it just business or were there?
There were personal? A couple business guys, but you know, there's one political blogger and one guy who just blogs about soul food and soul music.
Mm-hmm. Awesome.
Yeah. So I'm going to be checking those blogs out if I can decipher my handwriting. Main reason I'm not announcing them right now.
Okay. So he had one blog and he talks about soul food and soul music.
And yeah.
Okay. Great.
Yeah, soul food and soul music. He'll post recipes, and I don't know if he posts MP3s or anything, but he'll write about the music.
Two real popular topics.
Absolutely. If I could just listen to Otis Redding and eat biscuits for the rest of my life, I don't really feel like I need to do anything else.
I was unaware of how many food blogs were out there until, I don't know, maybe just the last couple of years. Maybe. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but, and how devoted a lot of people are to the art of, I don't know, cooking.
Everybody's got to eat. You might as well do something you like.
Yeah. Oh, so that was good. So, hey, what else? What else going on there?
Well, we actually switched over about halfway between, like, when I sat down and the conversation and when the conversation ended. We switched over a little bit to talking about location-based applications. And, you know, I had to tell them that really, like, Beth Sanders, who had taken off a little bit early, is the person to get in contact with that, mm-hmm. Get in contact with about location-based applications. But Foursquare itself, we talked a little bit about, like, the two or three of us in the group who used it. We talked about how we used it and why. And, you know, had, like, a little just lively discussion about, like, why we should or shouldn't.
Okay.
You know,
so what were the gaining whys? Why use Foursquare?
The gaining whys?
Yeah.
For me, it's largely a matter of that tips functionality. Of, like, being able to, like, be in an area, check in somewhere, and see places that I'm near where people that I'm friends with on Foursquare frequent and what they recommend to do or eat there.
Okay.
You know, usually just gives me a few more ideas than I would have thought of otherwise.
Okay. Great. How about you? You Foursquare?
I do not Foursquare.
Yeah?
I am not the mayor of anything except for my own bedroom.
I'm not the mayor of anything either. I'm Foursquare now, but just privately. Because I think one of these days there's going to be some kind of killer stuff comes out, and I want to be kind of lined up with all my data in there already, and my habits, my haunts.
Yeah. You know? Yeah.
Well, I'm wondering if it's Foursquare that's going to do that, or if it's going to be something else. So, like, you have to always wonder when, like, something new comes up and is the big hype and seems to be doing pretty successful, if it's going to, like, fade away while something a little better takes over. Like with MySpace, it was the first big social network, you know, outside of, like, Friendster came right before it, but faded out almost as soon as MySpace came on. Mm-hmm. And, you know, MySpace grew and grew and grew until Facebook came along and just did a better job of serving people that it catered to.
Maybe it'll be a big fish that comes along and buys Foursquare, or at least, you know,
quite possibly
a copy of the data or something. Yeah, something that's not going to upset us. Because I think it would be upsetting, well, I don't know, to some people who have been Foursquaring all along, and now it comes this, you know, the better mousetrap, and now all of a sudden it's like, well, I've never been anywhere now with this clean slate. So,
you know, at the same time, I had to re-input all of my information from MySpace into Facebook. And
oh, yeah?
Yeah, I missed out on the whole Friendster thing. Keep wanting to say friend feed, but...
See, they were gobbled up by, you know,
Facebook, and I'm still getting friend feed requests probably about, like, 7 or 8 a day, which
Speaking
is
of that,
ridiculous.
Have you noticed there seems to be friend feed requests seem to come in surges to me?
Yeah.
It'll kind of be quiet for a while. And it's like there's an article or something came out there.
I've had a ton lately.
That spurred everybody's interest. And all of a sudden, I'm getting all these friend feed requests. And mm-hmm. it's unusual. And anyhow. Okay, well, good. Good. Maybe it'd be enlightening to know where all the what sparks that interest.
Yeah. You
know?
Well, we are talking about social networks and like the rise and fall of MySpace and how there's always something new coming around the corner. We should go ahead and cut into our interview with Josh Bell because he's doing just that thing. He's creating a very specialized social network for hunters and fishers called Into Outdoors.
Our guest this week is Josh Bell. He is the founder of IntoOutdoors.com. So welcome to the expedition.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
So Josh, tell us a little bit about the site and the functionality. Tell us about Into Outdoors in a nutshell.
Well, right now it's just a basic social network for hunters and anglers. We have a few features that make it different than the other ones. We have a brag board feature where they can put pictures in there and videos and, you know, tell a little bit about their big deer that they kill, a big fish that they call, things like that. So that's where we're separate from the other social networks right now. And, you know, we plan to do a lot of things in the future with it too as well.
And how did Into Outdoors come to be? How was it born?
Well, it came about a long time ago whenever I was in college. Saw MySpace. And, you know, I saw how people were, you know, they were really getting into it and sharing information. At first, I was like, eh, it's not that big of a deal, you know. And then I saw people, you know, going out with girls and, you know, really taking the online world into the physical world. And that's when I was like, wow, there's a lot of power here.
Yeah.
And there's so much information being exchanged. I was like, man, this could really help out, you know, hunters and anglers. And I just got the idea and started taking steps pursuing it, I guess.
Awesome. So you mentioned the future of the site. So tell us a little bit about, like, the next 6 months, the next year. What's coming up? What new, you know, elements are going to be rolling out? What's going to be happening?
Well, we're actually starting to prioritize features right now. One thing that I think is a big plus for us is coming out with a sophisticated review system for products and outfitters and also media, entertainment, stuff like that. You know, having people connect with people who, you know, like a certain show, are familiar with a certain product, or and for instance, a bow. I mean, you have these people that are like tribes of certain products and brands, and bringing those people together, I think that would be a really big seller for us moving forward.
Very cool. So, Into Outdoors, you're working with Launch Memphis to get the site going, right?
Right.
Now, I'm thinking about, well, I'm going to be pitching a project to the 48-hour launch event this weekend, and I don't know. I'm looking forward to working with a lot of people from Launch Memphis on that. What has your experience been? What should I be looking forward to?
For 48-hour launch, definitely the ideas floating around. That's the main draw for me going there, is just seeing all the creative ideas and seeing what, you know, I think so many times you get so bogged down on your idea that you're not open to what everybody else is thinking with a completely different industry. So going there and just kind of, I guess, getting the idea buffet, you know, at something like that is really good. Plus, you get to meet resources and people that you probably would have never met. You know, it's better to have that physical communication with somebody and, you know, just talk to someone as opposed to just, you know, chatting with them on Twitter or something, you know. So that's the main benefit for me for these kind of events.
Right, just getting the FaceTime.
Right, yeah.
What took you to Launch Memphis in the first place? How did you find out about them? What made you decide to?
Ooh.
Well, I didn't get involved with Launch Memphis until I about burned every other bridge I had and hit every other dead end that came in front of me. I went to Santa Fe. I got involved with the Angel Network there. I mean, I pursued this with every, I don't know, bit of energy that I had, and you know, I think I had 6 attempts at trying to get the site built, and I was just running out of resources. And finally, the original programmer that I had for the site was like, look, you need to get a hold of these guys over here at Launch Memphis, you know, and you could probably find the resources you need. And he was right. I mean, ever since I got with him, we started getting people involved, and people really, you know, started seeing what I saw for it, the potential for it, and you know, we started recruiting team members, and it just, that's how it sort of happened. I mean, just one after the other, people started getting on board.
Very cool. You mentioned you had like 6 attempts at getting the website up.
Yeah.
What has the whole process been like?
Well, I was fortunate enough because I'm very young, and you know, I think it was good that I had those mistakes and ran into the people that I ran into.
Yeah.
Because now, whenever I see something come up, it's like a warning sign. I listen to that more. You know, I mean, that right. gut instinct of someone like, I'm not sure about you. I can't put my finger on it, but something's not right with you. I seem to have, you know, been lucky to go through those experiences where it's, you know, early on in this. So that's good. But yeah, I mean, it's been attempt after attempt. I've taken out loans and, you know, put myself in some tight situations, but we're finally starting to turn a new leaf. So that's good.
Now, I know that you've been live for about a month, right?
Right.
And you've got about 300 members at this mm-hmm. point. Do you have kind of set goals for numbers that you'd like to see in terms of membership? You know, I know you said you've got some new features that are going to be rolling out in terms of, like, your monetary model and everything. I mean, are there membership goals you need to reach before those things can happen?
No, actually, we're rolling out the features whenever we get... We feel like we're ready for them. Whenever we feel like the users are ready for them, we have, you know, we feel very valid that the priority and the phasing out of the features is going to be good. Right now, we don't have any goals as far as user base growth. We're just hoping that they keep trickling in, and we're doing everything we can. Right now, I mean, we're discovering ways of bringing people in through Facebook, Twitter, you know, what's working, what's not working before we move forward and, you know, just start spending money.
Right.
I mean, we want to move through cautiously, I guess.
Okay. Are there any other sites that you've sort of, you know, that you can model off of, or is Into Outdoors really a unique thing out there? I mean, or, you know, are there sites that you kind of pull different things that you like from?
You know, there's a lot of ideas that I like to take and kind of blend them all together, and they're not necessarily from hunting and fishing, but... One thing I have found is the a lot of sites tailored to women, believe it or not. They seem to have a lot in common with the outdoor stuff.
Like in what ways?
Well, some of the shopping stuff, and like the fashionistas, I guess. You know, the way they get on their communities. Also, like gardening stuff, and
that makes a certain amount of sense. I mean, there's a lot of like, there is a lot of gear associated with outdoor stuff. So it is a very specific
right.
market that
right.
is going to be shopping pretty frequently.
Right. And that's where most of the traffic is right now, too, on most of these hunting and fishing sites.
Right. Now, you keep mentioning it as a hunting and fishing site, and I'm neither a hunter nor a fisher, but I love going hiking, love camping.
Mm-hmm.
Like, is Into Outdoors like a decent place for me to go to find more resources and maybe like some advice about great camping spots?
You would be able to find camping spots and things of that nature, but as far as being a site tailored just to campers, that's not what we're focusing on. We're focusing on the hunters and the anglers and having something really tailored to them and their experience.
Yeah. So what have been some of the most popular features on the site? Like the brag board, is that really blown up? The groups, what are people really liking?
They're really liking the brag board more than anything. We're getting, I think we have 400 something pictures uploaded already.
Wow.
So they're really using that. People, you know, hunting and fishing, it's a braggadocious sport anyway. Everybody wants to be famous, you know, everybody wants to show off their deer, or even if it's small, you know, it's just our nature. I mean, we have these pictures that we post in gas stations and bait shops and stuff. I mean, it's just human nature for us. So
yeah,
giving people that place to do that is, you know, very successful for us. So that's one thing that we definitely have to have.
Is this a full-time job for you?
You know, I would say that it is, because I don't go to bed till 3 o'clock in the morning. I mean, I do have, you know, I have 2 other jobs, and I do this whenever I'm not working. I mean, it's pretty much my life now. I don't, I'll just go ahead and say I'm not like a big partier or anything like that. On a Friday night, I'm sitting on my computer, you know, Google searching, just digging and clawing for every little piece of information, every idea that I can find. I really couldn't imagine myself doing anything else, and I would like to get to a point where this is all I do. So in the meantime, yeah, I'm working full-time hours, I guess, is what I'm saying.
Right. So it's less like the Twitter model where you get like all kinds of investors without having a business model, and more like the Gary Vaynerchuk model of just getting out and making it happen and doing whatever you have to do to make ends meet in the meantime.
Right. Yeah.
So you're out there hustling into outdoors and just trying to.
Well, you know, too, it's not like you can just go to an investor and say, I got this concept, you know, I'm a young guy, you know, give me some money.
Yeah.
I don't have a proven concept either. So at this point, it's, one thing, too, is the investors, they either don't know anything about hunting, or the investors who hunt don't know anything about technology.
Yeah.
Mm. So that's kind of what I'm running into right now. But you know, we're starting to find some that are apt on the technology, I guess.
A lot of technologies like GPS really like took off first with like backpackers and as well as hunters and fishers. Do you see that same crowd that latched onto that being the people that come into outdoors?
Yeah, I definitely see that happening. I mean, there's actually features out there now, or there's products being used that are location based. I'm trying to think. Trail cameras are real big, where they put trail cameras on trees, and then they take pictures of stuff. You can have that sent to your phone now, your email. And so, I mean, in that regard, I mean, hunters and anglers are, they're using technology. It's just that there's not a resource that kind of hubs everything together, I guess.
Right.
They have to go to a different hunting forum or a different fishing forum, you know, species-specific, location-specific sites. Yeah, so that's all I can think about that. But there was something else I was going to say about technology-wise that I thought was really interesting. Oh, the book Groundswell, they mention hunters at L.L. Bean. They did a study on them or something, and they said they were really sophisticated. It blew their minds away how sophisticated they were, and they were really good at bookmarking. They were talking about some of the ideas they had to integrate the bookmarking in with the L.L. Bean website. So I was kind of, you know, it's comforting moving forward, because you hear it so many times that hunters aren't tech savvy, you know. So it's good to hear something saying otherwise.
Yeah, absolutely. Definitely. Now, I know a lot of places where, you know, my relatives who go hunting and fishing, like, go way out in the country, and there's, like, no cell phone reception.
Mm-hmm.
Do you see a future in mobile technology for Into Outdoors?
You know, I do, because whenever I'm hunting, I get about 5 text messages, you know, are you seeing anything? Are you doing anything? So I think there's definitely some communication that could take place with mobile and, you know, just playing around on them. I mean, everybody now has a phone. You go anywhere and everybody's got their phone out. You know, if they're standing in the Starbucks line or waiting in line at Walmart, right, they all got their phones out. They're all playing with them. So I think we're just scratching the surface on mobile. So I haven't got any great ideas with that, but, you know, I keep my eyes open.
I mean, do you think that's something that could take off right away, or do we need to wait for, like, better infrastructure before that's
I think it'll a take a while. Thing? Yeah. I think it'll take a while. Hunters seem to kind of lag towards technology a little bit.
You know, I was just thinking about that old saying about, like, giving away your favorite fishing hole. You know, it's like, you don't want to tell people the big secret of, like, where you catch all the best fish. I mean, do you feel like is that real, or does it matter? I mean, are people willing to share, like, I found this great spot, or this is where I like to go? Is that something that you've been talking about?
Yeah, it's definitely something we've been talking about. That's true, and then again, it isn't true. Because if it's a place that you have a lease to, then you probably don't want to tell everybody that you're killing all these big deer on it, because someone could step in and take the lease from you.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, if you're an outfitter and that's your business, and you want your customers to tell people about, you know, this big deer that you killed on their property, and that's how you make your business, you can go up on your rates, then they'll be pushing it like crazy, saying, you know, this is where we killed it at, you know.
Yeah.
Right.
So, right. I mean, maybe even offer incentive to their customers. I don't know, but it's twofold. I mean, that's one of the things with hunting and fishing, is that it's become so commercialized and business-centered. And, you know, while you have people that are complaining about it turning that way, you also have people that are reaping the benefits on the business side, too.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's a changing time for hunting and fishing, as opposed to the way it used to be whenever you could go out in your backyard and hunt. You know, it's just not the same way.
Right. All right. Well, before we run out of time, why don't you tell us a little bit about, like, where we can find Into Outdoors online?
Well, I'm on YouTube. I do videos for Outdoor Life magazine. It's a pretty big magazine. And then Facebook. I have a Facebook fan page. It's intooutdoors.com.
Now, that's I-N-T-O. It's not like...
Right, right, yeah. I-N-T-O-O-U-T. And then Twitter. I'm on Twitter, too. That's just Into Outdoors.
All right. Very cool.
Awesome. And, of course, intooutdoors.com. Always an option as well. If you want to head there and become a member.
Check it out.
Well, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
We'll be keeping an eye on Into Outdoors to see all the growth and success that's surely headed your way.
Amen.
And I guess I'll see you Friday at the 48-hour launch.
Sure, yeah, I'll be there.
You know, that was one of the first interviews I think we've done without you, Dave, and I think we did manage to get some decent questions in regardless.
Oh, we're good.
Yeah, and hopefully, you know, I have high hopes for Josh. He's a really cool guy, and hopefully Into Outdoors is going
to
be
a really big success. Nice guy. He's really eager to work with everyone.
And he's been working on this project for 4 years, mm-hmm. and it's just mm-hmm. been live for a month. I mean, yeah. That dedication and, like, passion, you can really tell. It's just, yeah, I have high hopes for him.
Absolutely. Right. Yeah, I mean, he's got the drive to make it happen, so.
Excellent. So stop by there soon, maybe not today, but soon, and yeah. You'll see some of our video work on there, trying to work with Josh to help tell the story of intooutdoors.com.
Yep. Yep.
So, hey, all right, so we've got just, a few minutes left, you said?
Yeah.
So some of the highlights that we had over on the social measurement table, conversation at the breakfast this morning.
Well, we talked about... of course, your big platforms, Facebook, Twitter, Google. We talked about Google Analytics. Just kind of, we had several people who were kind of new to the whole game, really, of measuring anything, of looking at any kind of analytics. So we kind of walked through Google Analytics, what kind of stuff is available, and really, how do you get started? You know, how does one go about setting up Google Analytics on one site? We talked about Facebook fan page insights. I think one site that was brought up for Twitter information was called TwitterAnalytics.com, mm-hmm. that I guess just kind of gives you a good capture of a particular handle and their kind of impact and reach based on how many followers they have, how many people they're following, etc.
I didn't get to interject this in the meeting this morning, but here's my suggestion on that. Go to 140, spell it out, onefortty.com, and click on the analytics category, and it'll show you a long list of analytic type tools that are available for Twitter. And it ranks them by popularity. So there's a few there at the top. Check them all out. Don't just do one-stop shop.
Awesome.
Yeah. So that was cool.
Yeah.
It was good.
We also talked a lot about URL shorteners that give you some statistics so that you can, you know, really kind of with Twitter and Facebook, when you know when you're putting a link out there, who's clicking on it and how many people are clicking on it, how many people are clicking on what, you know, that you've posted, that kind of thing. So, Bitly was mentioned, Threely, as I like to say, 3.ly, Bud URL, of course, which we use here, and Trim, which is tr.im.
And, you know, I heard, the thing I heard this morning, I'd never heard that before, and that's one of the reasons I love these breakfasts, is that Don was saying that some people he knows, they don't like to use Bitly because it's the .ly is a Libyan. Refers to the country of Libya.
Do you know, Dave, that you haven't seen any headlines about a crazy shortage because there is not one.
Okay.
People are crazy, and they are slow.
You know, I've always wanted to make my own URL shortener. I always wanted to call it, like, dang URL, and just have it always go to the wrong site.
Dang. Exactly. I like it.
Yeah, well, we talk about that, about making your own.
Yes,
you know?
We did.
And that's possible. And if you went to the last bar camp that we had, you could have seen a presentation there by Daniel and Bob Hazlett about how to make your own.
Yep, absolutely.
Because they're so frequently called URL shorteners, but the real advantage to these things is the fact that you can get some statistics out of these things. So you don't have to use them just for when you want to shorten the URL, but you can use them for putting a link on Twitter, which is where they're real popular for, but then also over on Facebook and other places where maybe you don't have good control over, good analytics and good stats being collected on what's happening there, which is also often occurring in the social sphere. So with that, we've got we talked about some stuff that's coming up too. We've got Launch Memphis has 48-hour launch. It's happening this Friday.
Yep. And you know, if you're a designer, developer, marketer, I know I need you on my team, but there are a lot of other great teams that are going to need some help. It's not a competition type thing if you even want to be a floater and just bounce around between teams.
You know, on Friday we were talking to the fellow from the UK from that one website. I forget what it is right at the moment. But anyway, he was telling us about 48-hour. Launch 48.
Launch 48, yeah.
Uberview. Uberview was the, yes. I knew it was going to come to me. It did.
They call those people that kind of float around. They call them mentors. So there's that coming up. Of course, there's South by Southwest, the interactive part, and then there is a pod camp. If you can't, you know, there's a pod camp going on in Nashville this weekend on Saturday. Then also mark your calendars for Tribe Camp on April the 24th. And then in there between all that, I think on April the 3rd is Bootstrapping Boot Camp. So if you're looking at putting a business together and you've got about a dime or so, then this is the Saturday for you over there, another Launch Memphis event.
Awesome. And of course, don't forget to join us for our regular in-studio, this podcast that you're listening to, as well as the Core Conversation, which we mentioned earlier, every week. Next week, we will have Rod Kirby. So be sure to check back here for that.
Yeah, Rod.
And he'll be speaking at our breakfast in April, too.
Oh, yeah, sure enough. And you know, like they say, you know, hey, if you know anybody that's looking for some web work or who needs some social media expertise, we are for hire. You know, so give us a call at LunaWeb or visit us at lunaweb.com. There we are. I guess that's it.
Matthew, number 22.
Where's your customized, your handwritten signs? Are we at it? Are we past
zero?
They're
like buried somewhere in my little file crate cart thing.
Double deuce.
Did the buzzer go off? Oh, there we are. Yeah. Two twos. It must be
out.
Something about twos today.
Peace.
Tuesday.
What's up? Word.
All right, so I'll see everybody Friday.
See ya.
See you.
The Social Expedition Podcast is produced at the offices of LunaWeb, a Memphis leader in web development and social media, online at lunaweb.com. Your hosts are Dave Barger, Elizabeth Kaywine, and Matthew Crawford Trissler, who edits the podcast. Our theme music is The Year Before the War by Eric Maskell, available at ericmaskell.com. For more information about the Social Expedition, including links mentioned during the podcast, visit socialexpedition.com. Thanks for listening.
Good segue.
Clumsiest segue ever.